Bolaso majuna gitada nyim bi singe tamji ji tendo tojala na me ba yanda ba zu bi sanji ji kumbarum bi jine ji tobra shagu te tobra shavi chedo tambe chyerum bo ji senya bi kono sanji ji semji se seme gonne sembri kyo.
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings, and with that kind of bodhicitta motivation that we should all participate in this teaching.
Ngaran su ta du sin ya chodi san zani me ni kan du sin chodi san ni tang bu de ni i de sanskrit ke thole ne ta sham du chi gar bas
ja
ta sham du chi ga ke chim bro kare se na ane ta tu ba chi yu ge te tang ji zo wa de ni sham du tu yu re se sham du de tu ba chi yu de tang ji je ni ta sa gi na bro yi man do bro se
I think I should take a little bit of time this morning to explain something about these prayers we do before our Sunday teaching. And as we have just done, we take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha by using Sanskrit language, you know, as we say, Namo Guru Be, I go for refuge in Guru, and so on. And it's very important for us to understand the importance of refuge practice, taking refuge in the three jewels. Three Ratnas is the foundation practice for us to be able to actualize all the remarkable qualities explained in both Theravadan and Mahayana forms of Buddhism.
We
must not underestimate the essentiality and importance of taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, as if it is a very basic and simple kind of a practice. There are many reasons. But just to explain, you know, some of them, taking refuge in the three jewels is the basis and foundation for, you know, for taking all kinds of Buddhist ethics and vows for our spiritual attainment. Those who have taken monastic ordination as monks and nuns, you know, based upon cultivating renunciation, then they go for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, so which becomes the basis for receiving monastic ordination. And the same way, those who have taken bodhisattva ethics of the vows and commitments, which are on a higher level, again, bodhisattva ethics and vows are given on the basis of taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And those who have taken the tantric ethics of the vows and commitments, or Vajrayana ethics, again, these are also given on the basis of taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So the point I'm trying to make here is this, that refuge practice, we call Kyamdo in Tibetan, going for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, is so important. It's the foundation practice and it's the basis for receiving all kinds of ethics. Without taking refuge, one cannot receive monastic ordinations, one cannot receive bodhisattvas. Without bodhisattva vows, one cannot receive tantric vows or the ethics. So that's why I don't, you know, I want, you know, everybody to understand that it's important, so that we do not undermine, we do not underestimate the significance of refuge practice.
Tiba chimbu yane, ta ndur chene, ane che nyam su lenka ngina. Ane ti thola, shamdru ku ta ijima shen, ti thola, ane shangju sem ta, rangju shiaba yina, ane shangju sem ma jine, kyo ma chenji, shangju sem, kyo ma chenji, kyo yane, pa su su yane, ta shangju sem ju zi simba chi, rang gezo kar shiaba yana, shangju sem ju zi simba chi, ngaba di gogo yane.
So taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, called Kyamdo, a refuge practice, is the foundation practice for all Buddhists across the board, across you know, denominations, if you will. And now when we embrace Mahayana Buddhism, or Bodhisattva's way of life, so in addition to refuge practice, we need to cultivate bodhicitta, or the altruistic mind of enlightenment, to engage in virtuous actions, to do our, you know, practices. And so one may not have the actual bodhicitta right now, but as Mahayana practitioners, we need to, you know, cultivate bodhicitta or the altruistic motivation. We need to have at least what we call contrived form of bodhicitta in us. And there are those who actually have bodhicitta, I mean, that's most wonderful. So the point I'm trying to make here is, as Mahayana practitioners, you know, grounding in refuge practice, then we cultivate altruistic motivation of bodhicitta to engage in positive actions and spiritual practices. So because of the essentialities and significance of refuge practice, Kyamdo in Tibetan, as well as the development of bodhicitta, Semje, Changchuji Sem in Tibetan, the great Indian master Atisha you know, he has brought these two great, you know, spiritual paths together in a very simple verse that we could recite every day, and we are able to remind ourselves to cultivate them. So that's why, you know, before teaching, we recite this one verse or the stanza, you know, which simply states, I go for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha from now until I reach enlightenment. And by the power of by the power of practices such as generosity, may I, you know, become enlightened being. And so this, you know, particular prayer is so profound that it incorporates both refuge practice as well as bodhicitta practice.
So after you know, taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, using Sanskrit language, then we chant a very short prayer called Guru Yoga to Lama Tsongkhapa, and this prayer is called 100 Deities in Tushita, in a Buddha field, Kanden Haja in Tibetan. And so why we chant this prayer is because in the Buddhist practice and spiritual development, cultivating a proper relationship with guru, qualified spiritual gurus, that's understanding, is so essential and crucial. Without such you know, guru yoga practice, you know, one may not be able to make much of a spiritual progress. So therefore, we chant 100 deities in Tushita or Kanden Haja, and the central figure of our visualization is Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, who is also known as Jerembuche. And so we invite Lama Tsongkhapa to come before us, and in his assembly, in the presence of Lama Tsongkhapa and his assembly, we practice what is known as seven limb practice, seven branch practice, Yama Tumba, in the footnote, starting with prostration and concluding with dedication. There are 7 points. So through this seven limb practice or seven branch practice called Yama Tumba, we purify our negativities and defilements, and we accumulate merit and wisdom. So basically, this practice is, you know, geared towards purification and accumulation. And as you know, we learn from Lamrim and other related texts. Lamrim is a Tibetan word meaning stages of path. Now it's a genre in Tibetan Buddhism, as you might call it, in the West. And there are treatises called Lamrim. And right at the beginning, what Lamrim teach us is, even in the form of outlines, cultivating proper relationship with gurus is the foundation practice for one's spiritual development. and how to do that, how to cultivate a proper relationship with Guru by both thought and by deed or in action. So because Guru devotion, cultivating such a relationship with Gurus is so crucially important from Buddhist perspective, especially in Mahayana Buddhism, so therefore we do Guru Yoga, short Guru Yoga to our Guru, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa.
So that lunch is our king is the imbate and next thing about the shaver, Karezana, Pena Allen Dose Miniachine. On the Raju Song of Shaving and Anne Kimbotal, Anne Rajung Kimbotal, Anne Tende Mabel, Anne Raju Songyam, Sonsa Kimboting about the Kimboji Tengu, Lama Jitengu. Tal Tin Tan Jay Shabashenta, Mango Yardina, Ral Alita, Kimboching about the Google, Sonsa Tiba Chimbo, Chimbozam Mayimpe. Ani pada nyentuh itu lama tu hujung nyentuh dah rancis lama tu hujung ni, dombal lengkap ini tengah hebat tu lama tu gugur.
When I emphasize the essentiality and importance of Guru Yoga practice or cultivating a proper relationship with gurus, spiritual teachers or the mentors, in Tibetan called lamas, that's not something just exclusive to or unique to Mahayana Buddhism or practice. Cultivating guru devotion is considered very important in other forms of Buddhism, such as Theravadan Buddhism. Let me try to explain this with some more examples. Those individuals who take monastic ordination as monks and nuns, they have to rely upon a guru without whom they cannot receive monastic ordination in the first place. Okay, so therefore, so when you go to receive monastic ordination, of course there has to be, called assembly, but one of the important figures is what we call the abbot or kenpo, from whom you receive ordination and who is your guru, or you have to cultivate that person as your guru.
Ane takana yege ngachu tal ngale shubine ne keta ngeba de te guru sa sa lam guru so cha ta thiba sum bena nyetu ranje ane thiba chiba chinta mangu yerta du kande chine yata lama mate ba chan meber ta kanje.
And then of course if you want to take bodhisattva vows and commitments, you need qualified gurus or lamas, spiritual mentors, without whom one can't have those vows. And so if you want to engage in tantric practice, which is the most advanced level of practice in Buddhism, it's even more important to have qualified spiritual gurus or mentors or lamas, without whom one cannot engage in tantric practice. So across the board, across all different levels and the forms of Buddhism, we can see the important role of spiritual mentors or spiritual teachers, gurus or lamas. In short, what I'm saying here is, when we look within Buddhism, we may classify Buddhism into three different vehicles or yanas. There is what we call Shravaka Yan, or the vehicle of hearers, Nyentu in Tibetan. Then there is the Pratyeka Buddha Yan, or the vehicle of solitary realizers, Rangel in Tibetan. And then there is the vehicle of Bodhisattvas, or we can say Mahayana vehicle, and that is the Thepa Chenpo. And across these three vehicles of Buddhism, we see the important role of guru in one's spiritual development and accomplishment.
Tende sonsa ta du sin ti ore pena lama ras du sin son de sin san ne lama de sanji tang jin de bi ku yin sanji tang jin de bi do jin de bi ngo ni kun ju zha lama na la sha ce lo ta lama la sha ce zha ne lama che ne sanji tang jin de bi dan yin yin stick she sanji tang jin de bi ku do jin de bi ngo ni ane ra la ta pena do jin de ba se ta nga sti ki ane lam ke ba po ya ant chra yin do jin de bi ngo ni kun ju sun ji zha wa ce Kunci usum berang, kunci usum cajuar. So, jadi caya de lama latihan semua res, usre. Kunjo suj tsawate. Tsawate shung skunjo shung shung sak tsaw karas na langa ten shung res.
Nos. And so Kishava just recited a prayer stanza which highlights the importance of Guru, Lama, spiritual teacher, and his role. Sangye Tamje Dibeku. When we practice guru devotion, to be simple, some people might have you know, problem with the word devotion, but we are using it in a positive sense, so in the footnote. We see our guru or lama as an embodiment of all enlightened beings of the Buddhas. Sangye Tamje Dibeku. Guru embodies all Buddhas or enlightened beings. Okay. Now, from tantric perspective, your guru is in the nature of, you know, Vajradhara, the one who holds Vajra. You know, so I mean, so even more important, so your guru or lama is the source of all the three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Now, what that means is that right now we are going for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, but what is our goal or aspiration? Because we want to be Buddha. We want to be one of the three jewels, or all of the three jewels, as a matter of fact. So how can we become Buddha is by relying upon and through the help of our guru or lama. And so in that sense, guru is the source of three jewels. And lama namla satala, I bow down to, I salute all my gurus or lama.
So Ani sanje kunchun dibi dani ki susu reji yore, ta tsamalu ti topdang di yoy diyo resi, ta kubi shay kubi resi.
So right now, you know, we, you know, metaphorically speaking, are kind of facing Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and gurus, as they are on the other side, and are we on this side, and we are requesting them for blessings and inspirations, and we go for refuge in them. So that means we are really not one of them, and we emulate them, and we want to be one of them. But through this kind of practice, refuge, a day will come that we ourselves become very realized beings, and now we ourselves become Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So that's our goal. That's the purpose of taking refuge now in those who are already Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
Ti ne tahas ke marista shamru den du sin shamru de ne ta sanje kyam de ne yum chin dol ka na yo res ha na yeg de de na yi de go man de ne jo shambang go bok de jung do jig na ka na yo ta ta han te sam ma si ta yum ma bo jin ka na yo res so za de re ane shamru de ne ju shap tan de shap sing yin cha ji yo res ta ju shap tan de shap ni yo res
So what I'm just explaining to you is not something I just, you know, made it all up right on the spot. Historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, our historical guru, Lama, himself, you know, talked about this, which are contained in what we call mother-like sutras, Prajnaparamita sutras, wisdom gone beyond sutras. And also many other great Indian commentators or the realized master scholars, you know, they have commented on Buddha's original teachings. And for example, you know, we find explanation about the refuge practice in Maitreya's ornament for clear realizations, or Abhisamaya Alankara, Ngundokyen in Tibetan. And so in these different, you know, authentic texts, what do we find is this, that practice of refuge, Kyamdo, Kyamdo consists of two things, Jujab. Causal refuge, C-A, you know, cause, as in cause and effect, causal refuge, and Dejab, which is Jujab in Tibetan, Dejab means resultant refuge.
So, the Jujab said, sōsōn dūyō nā shāni kōngyō sōpa tī ndō sō miyō bā shēne tā sā tām nē anē sōsō shiām rō shiā tō shi sā tē sāngjē sīmbi sā tā sāngjē tō shi tā nā yī kā anē gīndī kōngyō yī nā pāgbē kāng sā tā tōlam tōba yī shi shi tōlam tōba yī shi anē tā sōsō shiō gīndī yī nā tā shiām rō shiā gu rē gīndī shiō yī nā tā dēn tā bī gīndī kōngyō yī nā tā pālam tōba yī shi gu gu rē tā chū kōngyō nā rā Sūsū yu tēnzu kū rāngjū lī yēpīng gō lām tā ngō dēng tā lām dēng tēnzu anī chū kōngyū chā kū rā sōng sā tēli ngā chū yendō xīn sī rū tā kāndā jū shib sīngi tā sūsū kāndā yā kua tā ngā sōng kū dōngyā lī shā rō nā sē shēng khīng kī tā sā tā yā tē rāngu dūy nā sā tā yā tēnzu jū shib chā kū rā
So if you ask what is the difference between causal refuge and resultant refuge, these are technical terms as you can see. But causal refuge, jujia, we mean is that right now we ourselves are not, you know, the three jewels. So we visualize all the Buddhas, those who have already become Buddhas, enlightened beings, or other realized beings, as an object of refuge. And that's, you know, they become what are called the jewel of Buddhas. And then we take refuge in Sangha. Sangha consists of two, ordinary Sangha and transcendental Sangha. The ultimate Sangha consists of those who are called Aryas, or transcendental beings, meaning those who have gained direct experience, realization into of realization of emptiness, the ultimate nature of phenomena. So these are the ultimate Sangha, transcendental Sangha members, who are the actual Sangha members. Then we also take refuge in ordinary Sanghas, you know, monks and nuns, as a symbolic, you know, Sangha. So, and then whatever realizations others already have gained, Buddhas and, you know, Sanghas, and particularly like their paths of, their true paths, and their true cessation of suffering, Gokten and Lamten, the Four Noble Truths. These are actual, these are the Dharma, you know, in whom we take refuge. So that in a nutshell, what I'm talking about is causal refuge refers to others, you know, others who have already become three jewels, Buddhas, you know, Sangha and Dharma, and we go for refuge in them. So they become our causal, you know, objects of refuge.
Rāñi māma pānās, rāñi māma pānā, anī phākpē phālam tōjī yārēs. Phālam tōbī kāsū, tā anī rāñi tā gīndī kōchū mūnī tā chāndu gārā.
So as we take refuge in others who are already, you know, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, in the future, we ourselves can, how should I say, experience transcendental wisdom, transcendental path. In other words, we ourselves can experience emptiness directly or non-conceptually. So at that time, we ourselves become what we call ultimate Sangha or transcendental Sangha members.
That Mahamapana Rang Garanjil and the Golam Chidem, Golam, sorry, Lam Chidemba Tang, Gove Demba, that Kari, Kari, Lam Rangil Shepa, Gova, Mundu Kadi Shesuna. Ani rāngjū ilā tā chūyī kūñchū, āi chābhās tā chūyī kūñchū mē.
So through our practice, when we ourselves in the future experience what is known as true path and true cessation, so the footnote from the Four Noble Truths, true path and true cessation of suffering, then these internal realizations of ours constitute what we call real Dharma within us. So they constitute what we call resultant Dharma.
Ta mahopana ranga changi kyo du semshe. Kunyi wansan tabi kheri rangi li semshe. Ta ki sungre she ne. Ta nyan su la ne sanji kumbha kadi tabi ye na. Ani ta de shab du sanji chagba chan.
So through cultivating the three principal paths, renunciation, bodhicitta or altruism, and emptiness or wisdom gone beyond. As we cultivate these paths within our own mind, and we further these paths within our mind and cultivate them to infinity, so that's how we reach complete enlightened state. Whenever that happens, now we ourselves have become Buddhas or the jewel of Buddhas. So this is what called resultant objects of refuge, resultant Buddhas.
No, no. That's Shambhra Shikhi Chani Rang Kungus Ndina Kyubi Chani Kungju Sumbu Chi Ne Mahupana Rang Mahupana Rang Su Chani Kungju Sumbu Tan Jungju Ki Ani Nyamdishu Shambhra Nyamdishu Shikhi Arishta.
So when we practice refuge, when we go for refuge in the three jewels, we go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, in the sense like those who have already become Buddha, Dharma and Sangha as our causal objects of refuge. Simultaneously, we also go for refuge in the resultant objects of refuge, meaning that in our future Buddhahood, when ourselves will become Buddha, our future Dharma, you know, when we ourselves internalize or actualize Dharma, and our future, you know, Sanghahood, you know, when we ourselves become real Sangha. So when we practice refuge, you see, we are taking refuge in both causal objects of refuge and resultant objects of refuge simultaneously.
Then, the Chambu de Hidaki, Hemboresta, Tonda Parson, Toma Kacha, number to Revish, Mani part of the Karachiavash, any Chum, Tal Motembash, and that's Tamani, and it's a Kacham which are Tonda Parson, Kacham which have your sons, Chambu Namish Giamaris.
So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that Gyamdo, refuge practice is very important for us in the beginning, in the middle, and at end of our spiritual development or journey. How is it important at the beginning? It's only by way of taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha that we become Buddhist practitioners, we ourselves become Buddhist. In the middle, practice of refuge nurtures our spiritual development. That's how it is important in the middle. And then at the end, practice of refuge brings our path or the spiritual development to the state of fruition, and that's where we ourselves become Buddhas. So that's why refuge practice is so important, you know, to us in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. So by understanding that, you know, we must not consider refuge practice as something simple and basic and you know, kind of elementary.
No. I Gandhi Lajal Chen Dhani any Kar Karase Lami Nanjur the So Jirumbuch Gongri Inaya. So she played a jar mbuchita, manus kata, so she any chending was okay. Lama in and Data, Muju Lama Samalo, only Jirmuchi, with Stad Karsegur, Timidabuchi. The Kanga thing Yamdi so toy or somebody, thing Yamdi so yes, somebody in Shagurus. Jirmu Jamba, the Susil Lamata said that the Milama Kandichi, Yana, to do any Jirmuchi, and what you machine, this Yamdi so what you are somebody in the Yahweh, Shagurus.
So when we do the simple and short Guru Yoga practice of Jerumbuche, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, which is called 100 Deities in Tushida, Kandyan Thakya in Tibetan, of course, our central figure is Lama Tsongkhapa. That's who we see and we visualize. But we also need to understand, have to think, that either Lama Tsongkhapa that we visualize in front of ourselves is an embodiment of all other gurus, that we have cultivated either directly, or is an embodiment of both gurus we ourselves have cultivated personally, called direct lineage, and also embodiment of lineage masters or the gurus, meaning our gurus, you know. And so that's very important. So we see all our gurus as being inseparable in terms of entity with Lama Tsongkhapa or Manjushri. Or alternatively, you know, we could also visualize all other gurus are gurus from whom we have received teachings directly and personally, as well as lineage gurus in the assembly of Lama Tsongkhapa.
That Lama the Lama Ten Tsane. So any tongue and a Tamaluk, Lama the Lama Ten Tsane, Laluke, the way Yats Hasson, and you tell ya, young Lama the condition as being around to the.
So before we cultivate someone as our guru or lama or spiritual teacher, you know, we should take time to investigate the matter, as you might say, and find out whether you know, we feel comfortable and you know, cultivating someone as a guru, or whether that person has all the qualities that guru should have that we would like to cultivate, you know, we would like to have. So in other words, we have all the freedom and time, right, everything to test, you know, before we make the bond or the connection. But once we make the decision and we cultivate relationship with someone as our guru, from then onward, you know, it's important for us to keep our relationship very pure. You know, not to now kind of have some kind of a second thought or a doubt or a suspicion about our guru. Oh, okay, what is this? You know, when we have that kind of a doubt or a suspicion or a second thought, so that becomes very spiritually detrimental. You know, if we don't trust our guru, right, and then how can we make a spiritual progress? You know, so we can't. So that is spiritually detrimental. So the point I'm making is there's no rush to, you know, accept someone as a guru. Take all the time one needs, investigate it properly, everything. But once we make the connection, okay, so I think this language would be, Geshe-la didn't say it, but we cannot have a change of heart. Let me tell you an anecdotal story that is captured in Lamrim to illustrate my point. Once there was a very good Lamrim practitioner or meditator, yogi. Yeah, very good, meaning that, you know, he was really sincere in his meditation, and he was very dedicated, and so he was a good meditator. But even though he was a good meditator and he meditated for a long time, for some reason, he wasn't making progress in his spiritual development. So then he decided to go and see a very realized master. I think it was called Dukang Gelek Yaso, a very renowned master. So he went to see the master and and get guidance or advice. And then Dukang Gelek Yaso asked him, he said, in your like Lamrim meditation, do you visualize all of your gurus or lamas, you know, in the merit field? As a matter of fact, Dukang Gelek Yaso was highly realized that he could see with his, I think, that there was a problem in the meditator's practice. And the meditator said, no. What happened was, he said, I excluded one guru from my visualization because before he was a monk, and then he disrobed. So somehow, you know, he excluded that guru from his visualization practice. And then Dukhwan Gelagyur advised him very strongly. He said, well, you need to put him back into your merit field. And not only that, you include him in your visualization, but make him the central figure, you know, the important figure, the key figure in your, you know, guru visualization. And so he went back and he did that, and that made all the difference. And then he had a breakthrough, and he was able to, you know, have a, you know, a deep insight and realization.
So that lamrig analogy, lama lucinite, lama la tana jo mikal tsin, lama sanje bidu tsin te tim sum gu, lama la tana jo mikal rang no lang eba me pas in sachi yores. The thing ever to teach him chag yores. The chance to any dinner turks.
So in the Lamrim you know, section on Guru Devotion practice, you know, how we need to cultivate what we call pure perception of gurus or lamas, I mean, there are many ways we can do that, and one of the things mentioned is that we need to understand that you know, often our perceptions are not certain or reliable. In other words, things appear to our perceptions do not necessarily, you know, necessarily be the truth, because our perceptions are biased and they are unreliable in many ways. So Keshela would advise us to go back to the Lamrim section and, you know, so go through that and find out.
That in the young nana so nyamba min nyambi tsu shawa min shawi tsu skan nang yor di yina ya maran tsu ge tak je shi de ge ba de ta tak je ya bu she gures.
And so because, as you know, in the authentic Buddhist texts, we find that gurus could manifest in many different forms. We don't know. Sometimes they manifest as a disabled people, you know, looks like they have you know, a feet problem. They are limping, or that, you know, they look like a bit of a crazy, you know, loony. I mean, that's how they just kind of, you know, appear to us or manifest, you know, for certain reasons. So we really need to take time to investigate and find out the truth.
Yes.
And you see, we might make a big mistake between, you know, those who are very true and sincere practitioners and those who are hypocrites. You know, sometimes just, you know, maybe the hypocrites look more genuine than the real practitioners. So we really need to be careful. We need to investigate our own perceptions. We need to investigate the truth.
Banking tang yang ta kar se gore tin ta yo no se chim chi de kan ji bang ko no se chim chi de
those who have you know, truly renounced samsara and worldly concerns and activities, and those who are just strict people, you know, something like, you know, who don't have that kind of a renunciation but look like they renounce because they are beggars, you know, street people, you know, if we're not careful, we may not be able to understand the differences between these two types of people. Those who choose to be poor but renounce samsara completely, but then those who want everything but can't have it, but they're poor, but they both look alike from the outside. See, so we need to really investigate all these issues. And so we might not get confused, you know, between who, you know, who are the real doctors and who are the crazies.
So Zangaran Somalo Ketag, Muni Chu number Tangwajita, Dunkichi Tangaranso, Maranso is number Tangwaji Dutte, Giginti and Chu number of Dunki, Yan Ranta Tron, Dunkinti and Chu number of Dunkich, that Chuna Tanga, someone Pitawaya, which Google your rest.
Well, in the, like in an ideal world, so to speak, ideally, you know, this is what we want in an ideal world, that we need you know, teachers who are very qualified and who are really sincerely and enthusiastically doing their practice, great examples for us, that we ask us want to be really sincere practitioners of Dharma, that we are not being hypocrites or just kind of faking out. We want our Dharma friends and people we, you know, hang out, you know, to be really sincere practitioners and not just kind of, you know, have some kind of agenda, you know, hidden agendas. And I mean, that's what we want. But that's like a perfect world, ideal world, you know, we are kind of envisioning.
Sí, rongo de donji, lenga de sani. Tan uni toni rongo de donji ti, ene pe yene, ngai se yo mar. Yene rongo de donji me kitso ngai ro de ngudu doji ngal le nga kes se yo chesa. Ngai ti yi mi se te se gesun tan si jo ma ko yente ki yente de takshin. Quran ke kan ki yin se me te ka se ngala zu yi ki ale tambo ni yi ki se yo mar. Ko Quran is yet to you think you zog do it in. Do it there, Quran is yet to read in.
So, I mean, we need to investigate things thoroughly before we accept, I mean, things as truth. I mean, there could be people, you know, who are very good in claiming rhetorically that they are realized, they are so and so, you know, this and that. And then if we just kind of buy into the rhetoric, we don't investigate matters, so we could be duped because, you know, they're very nice talkers, you know. So they know what to talk and how to talk and what to say and how to say. And so we just, you know, buy into things. And they might make all kinds of claims, of realizations. So what we really need to do is investigate, take time and say whether these people have the qualities that they claim that they have. And then if through our investigation we find out that that's true, they have the qualities they said they have, okay, then that's good. Okay, so we have no problem with that. So we can make whatever connection we desire it. On the other hand, if they are people simply making claims, but they really don't have qualities, all they're talking about, so then we do not want to get duped into, you know, their claims. Mm. And there's a story of, you know, I think it's a great story in Indian, you know, literature. It's called The Story of Vetali. It's almost like a precious zombie story. So one time, you know, I think King went after that precious zombie called Vetali, and if you can capture it, then you can pretty much fulfill all your wishes. Okay? So when he went in search of that zombie and, you know, and found in the area where there are so many zombies, everyone who was not the real precious one, they said, "Hey, I'm here, catch me, I'm the real one." But the one who was really the true precious zombie, Vetali, is the one who just ran away, said, "I'm not the one." Okay. So this is how it is. Those who are fake claim to be real, and those who are real, they claim not to be real. And so we really need to investigate matters, you know, before we accept things. In Tibet, in good old days, Geshe-la didn't say that. Like if there were like some monks, or let's say they make false claim as if they are visionary, or they have some kind of a psychic power, or they see, you know, they have some kind of a vision or a dream, or they see weird things and claim to be something special, well, what do they get? They get kicked out of the monastery, you know.
And those who are
truly realized and maybe have some kind of clairvoyances, they never declare or advertise. They're just quiet, you know, in a monastery. So So somehow, I mean, I thought these are some of the important things and I should share with you this morning, although this has taken time from me to go back to the text, Kandamba Master's text, and continue from where we left. But I thought this is really pretty important stuff for all of us. And if you do see their importance, please, keep it in your mind and put it into practice. But if you see that, you know, and these are not really important, or you disagree with what I just explained, then you don't have to bother paying attention to these things. You can just leave them aside, you know. So the metaphor Geshe-la used is that, you know, I did not translate the metaphor. I don't think it works in English, but let me say, if you are walking in a windy place and the wind is blowing like anything, your ears are flapping like anything, but you don't pay attention to the wind anyway. It is behind your ear flaps, behind your ear. So just let it be, you know.
Oh, God, that is it.
Yeah. So okay, your ears are fluttering like flag, but the winds are blowing. So do you care? Pay attention to the wind. Does that help? No. Just let it be.
Yes. Okay. Tangan je kasi tita joje kendo sintan sumre. Kasi jabat hi chare ta ta chundu ge ma len kali na yatle chundu je cho shawat thomba yins kana wda. Ta chundu ge na ni cho chiba kare sana shawat thomba yins pa shagat susu ene pe ta. No.
Going back this wonderful text called a Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. Last time, remember, Atisha was, giving answers to the questions, but he was also explaining what he thought are the best forms of perfections. And we already talked about patience. And the next one he talks about is enthusiastic perseverance, called tsundu in Tibetan. Sometimes people translate as diligence. And Atisha said, the best form of diligence or enthusiastic perseverance is to give up activities or actions. What does it mean? Meaning that, you know, to give up worldly activities of this lifetime. So first we need to understand what does tsundu mean, you know, which is translated as diligence. So I don't think the diligence really captures that connotation that Tibetan term has, or the original Buddhist term has. So tsundu is defined as, that's why I use the word enthusiastic perseverance. Tsundu, you know, is defined as the enthusiasm or a joy to engage in virtue. In other words, like, you know, when we feel happy to do something positive, virtue, you know, you like it, you are very enthusiastic, that's what we call tsundu, enthusiastic perseverance, or tsundu in Tibetan.
So that shawa thomba yinsa, tsin dekhan ke shawe dewen dewen ni peke ta, tsumba kimbo shuk chambo shingi ji yorwa, te tsundu je guya mara, kare yinsa na gyawa la cho yin dima de re guya mara wasi.
So, I mean, if we translate tsundu as diligence, diligence doesn't capture the whole range of meaning that tsundu has. And often people some kind of equate tsundu with working hard. Well, that's not it. You could be working really hard, like anything, for this lifetime and the worldly activities, but that's not sundu, you see, that we are talking about here. So people who are working so hard, who are very diligent to fulfill the worldly needs of this lifetime, we don't deny that they are very enthusiastic, they are very working hard, they are, you know, going like crazy in what they do. Keshila didn't say that, but that's, you know, we know what it means in America. But that's not sundu. But sundu, according to Adisha, the best form of enthusiastic perseverance is to give up, to let go worldly activities of this lifetime.
So the that dine think that grant yon de chejung kan de jang ji xie be yin na ya zhen de ten zhen de le ten xie gu yo.
Enthusiastic perseverance or zhendu plays a very important role for us to accomplish both small and big qualities and realizations.
Ti imba kari yin na ne pan de dawa tro go man ju na kan na do. Yun de ma lu zhen zhu jian zhu xin shi. Yun de qi zhong gan de yin ma lu ba yong zao. Ani zhen zhu ji jian shi zhu gu le shi zhen zhu yin mi le zha li ge le shi ka nang.
As great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states in his supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamik Avatar, Yun den malu zhen zhu jie zhu xin. Yun den, all qualities, malu, nothing left out, that is all qualities, zhen zhu jie zhu xin, they follow, they come from, they arise from enthusiastic perseverance or sundu. So if we have sundu, enthusiastic perseverance as we have just defined, then we are able to have all kinds of remarkable qualities.
That thing you can tend to what? You can tend to what? So I'm going to look at the Nietzsche just. So I'm going to say that he's a unibody. He just, so I'm going to say that he's just sago. That is sabata. Sabatata le ane zhundu jis dogre, zhundu shu chapuji, never the gogre is kanangar, ta kanji.
And the next line also says that enthusiastic perseverance is a cause that produces the two types of accumulation of merit, punya, an accumulation of wisdom or jnana. Because, you know, what we are really seeking as practitioners is we need these two types of accumulation. Accumulation of merit and accumulation of insight or wisdom. And these accumulations also follow from, or they arise from, enthusiastic perseverance.
The randeo da yendeo yos zope, sanje juku toba sheba lata zundu raling, zundu mena toya meberta kanji.
In order to accomplish perfect enlightened bodies for our own sake and for the sake of others, we must cultivate and enhance enthusiastic
perseverance. Ani hutsu chekukar, wata tabi ane nyenpo tenkukar, chesa nyenpo tenpala, zhundu mena ane nyenpo tenkukar ma. Pena, ari, ane chesun.
Enthusiastic perseverance, of course, is so essential in our spiritual development, practices and development. What I just explained is from positive, complementary perspective, that in order for us to accumulate merit, to accumulate insight of wisdom, we need enthusiastic perseverance. So that's from positive angle. Now, in order to get rid of mental obscurations, we also need enthusiastic perseverance. In other words, like for us to become Buddhas, enlightened beings, we have to completely abandon the two types of mental obscuration. One is called deluded states of mind or delusion, mental obscuration preventing liberation or nirvana, and mental obscuration preventing omniscience. And so in order to get rid of these two mental obscurations from our mind system, we need enthusiastic perseverance, without which we are not going to be able to counteract, apply antidotes to these two types of mental obscuration.
Pena, 내지 싸워도 봐 중인 진반데 내 매버 저다 내 잡았다 잡아 쳐봐라 매도 봐 준 튼이 된 거거든 왔어 준이 맞다 이제 맨날 매지 세 양유 내가 세 메뉴 세베는 거 내가 거 내리 잡이 아니 뒤 기다 쳐 매버 신들 내지 샤우여 왔어 그 나이 그 아니 저리 야고 매나 저리 야고 매는 배 아니 니마티 그래다 Dunta ki yawe shave in the dead, Dunta give us by the Mavish. Yanki, yan, those in the Karasego, that's under church in the Matango, church in the Matango, Restana, with the men, and they rank the Toja to the Toyota, other Divine Papa, and the Kalikamo Restana.
We also need to cultivate enthusiastic perseverance consistently, like an uninterrupted flow of water or river. Now, what I mean is that, if we don't develop consistency in cultivating enthusiastic perseverance or engaging in virtue enthusiastically, then what may happen is that, for a few days we are enthusiastic like anything to do virtue. Then after that, we take a break and, don't do it. Then we try to become enthusiastic again. Then we interrupt and break it. So in that way, we face obstacles and impediments on our spiritual journey. And example Geshe-la given to use is like, somebody who's really sick and has got the medication to fight that sickness, but take the medication today, then, forget it for the next 2 days, and then take another dosage, then forget another. I mean, that's not a good way, to deal with your sickness. If you want to get, cure your sickness quickly, you have to take the whole course, right? Complete your medication. So like that, we need to cultivate enthusiastic perseverance consistently.
All right. That's when this is what the end of the Hakovichi. That Zundig Mundisho is the Hakovres. Zundig Mundisho Carres and Lelotres. That Lelotelamandaji number Sundusiores, the Hegres.
So I have defined what enthusiastic perseverance is. In other words, now you know what enthusiasm or Zundu means conceptually. Okay, what is Zundu and what does it do? What is its function? So we talked a little bit about these two things. Now let me also tell you the other side of the Zundu. In other words, what are the opposites of Zundu? Or what does Zundu do? It fights laziness. So we need to understand what laziness is or what the different types of laziness. And there are three types of laziness mentioned in Buddhist literature.
I think it's a little bit. That's Shava Shikyo Lelu Wang Zoguyores.
There is a form of laziness called laziness of procrastination, in Tibetan called Chisho. So laziness of procrastination, what it does is, you may feel that, okay, I know Dharma is really important to practice, but I don't have time today, so I'll do tomorrow. So tomorrow comes, today I'm even more busier here. So not this week, I'll do next week. And the next week is the same thing. Well, somehow this month I'm really busy, I have so many things to do, so I'll do next month. And the next month I said, well, this year is kind of really hard on me, so I'm going to do the next year. So like that, we procrastinate our practice for a later time, and then we might run out of time and we never get to practice. So this is due to our laziness. It's called laziness of procrastination. Let me tell you what one of the great, you know, great lamas of Tibet said, is that for the first 20 years, first 20 years just passed by, not even thinking of, you know, of Dharma, or practicing Dharma. And then the next 20 years pass by, just simply thinking that, yes, I need to practice, I need to practice, but then the next 20 years passed by. And then the next 20 years, he said, well, I kind of, you know, did a hodgepodge practice, you know, kind of, you know, not really, but okay, not really okay. So kind of in a wishy-washy, you know, practice, and next 20 years passed by. He said, well, 60 years passed by now. So he said, now I'm just too old, and that's it. You know.
So he said,
this is the empty story of my life. And I don't think that was really, he was telling the story of his real life. I think he must be a really good practitioner. But probably he is telling the story of, you know, us at this time. You know, he could be telling our story, not his own. So we had to be careful, otherwise by the end of the life we realize that time has passed by and the life is just empty. So that's what happens when the laziness of procrastination hits us all the time. Well, I mean, let me just kind of, you know, how to say, bring this other thing, you know, where we're really good probably at doing it. You know, when it comes to eating, right, basic necessities of life, I mean, how many times do we say that, you know what, today I don't have time to eat, but I'll eat tomorrow instead, you know? So another form of laziness in Tibetan is called Jilupa Lelo, which has been translated as laziness of indolence, or according to explanation, it's like laziness of underestimation. And according to Geshe's explanation given, it's like, you know, even before we start study of Dharma or practice of Dharma, we just kind of undermine ourselves, thinking that, you know what, I'm not that intelligent. I don't have the intelligence to study Dharma or practice Dharma. Or that, you know, I don't have the ability to do meditation. And so we somehow put ourselves down to the extent that, you know, it becomes a laziness, and we never, I mean, it's like, you know, we become very anxious, right, from the beginning, anxiety attack from the beginning, you know, from the get-go, thinking that I can do it because of this, because of that.
So that
So we need to boost up our spirit in such a case. You know, look around. There are people maybe whose abilities are maybe even, how should I say, less than one's own, or who are extremely busy, much more busy than oneself, but somehow they make time, you know, they find time to do their study and practice of Dharma. So if they could do it, why can't I? See, so we need to, how to say, we need to inspire ourselves.
tada kai yuwa mudu ta samni ti sambi na ane rangli yinpi ta gengo pe chu sadu dungki teyan pe pari ta tsundi chimpe guan dungki tiri yungu rabas tenzul tewe sheni ya kunzu kundu sikindwa ta nge ane kurali nga lo chungu desu chungu yore ta kwe mzu eke mudu samni du sini loho shekwa ta.
Well, somebody who is in advanced age might make ageism an excuse. You know, say that, you know what, I'm old, I can't do it. So if ageism is, you know, being used as rational for like, okay, I can't do it, well, maybe look around, because we can always find those who are, you know, a little older than ourselves, at least. You know, so if these people who are older than me, some of them even began to do practice now. The whole life they didn't do it. For some reason, now they become very enthusiastic and they're doing it. So why can't I? I'm at least few years younger than them. So I can do it. So we have to somehow, how to say, draw inspiration from other people's practices, other people, and inspire ourselves.
Papa Langchung was singing again, and the Langchung do singing yard. That is some congress. Carrison, regrets over Hibuji. Dulpang, Tamapang, Satin, do singing, Tambo Labus and Dulpang, Labus and Tilabus and Labus and Tamapang Gendogger. Tamapang, Labus and Nema Lagia to Dulpang Gendogger. That in those in Bay New Tinny, those lovely tapping, you might be crying at the Love Shiva Shore. That do send attention. What and Dawata? Lode loshin in dusi jene yusa ani kona machi kon ta gomba ma zo kon dachi me gomba tobro wa tri yores ta ten ten ta ju tu zong aran sol pemba ki res je ta ten le pengu ga res.
And then there are, I mean, in the Buddhism, there are many inspiring stories of other practitioners, you know. And so we could draw inspirations from those stories. For example, there's the story of what we call Papa Lamjung. Papa means transcendental. Lamjung means, it's just kind of a nickname called a small path, somebody on a small path. So what happened was, to begin with, this individual, before becoming a transcendental being, was so dumb. He couldn't keep two little things together in his mind. And he went to learn about Dharma, and the teacher taught him just two simple things, said Dulpang, Timapang. Dulpang meaning, you know, abandon dust, and Timapang, remove stains. So, but in Tibetan, it's even easier, like Dulpang, Timapang, you know, how difficult is that? But when he said Dulpang, he focused the Timapang. You know, and he said the Timapang, he can't focus the next one. You know, he just couldn't keep just two simple things in his mind. But then he just, you know, kept his enthusiasm to recite these two lines and whatever the assignments, he was given to do. And then at the end of his life, you know, he become an Arya. Touch on what's making.
Allah.
He became an arahat, meaning that he attained nirvana at the end of his life. So as dumb as we would say, Papa Lamjung could become an arahat, so why can't I?
Well, that thing is somebody that is showing against the laws. That thing around Sonal Dukchayurus. They showing him about a chani. That's so sweet. It's in the country's legal, the Chowang, Shawang, and Chow, Chula Devi. Chula Devi, that's Shang of a Chang, Shawang, and the Nili Hene. And then they got a Tam Juta. At the Hanangeta, Loyan, the Gay Chadolas of Tendeta. At the Nili Beta, Tawa de Shene. So she seemed good. Give it solar, Roma to Beshit, that Tawa does it in the nation to give me see. Don't see showing in that Calicopres, showing against Lelos, showing him by a choppy Lelo, near Chambers the Chowery, showing against Lelota, the little one to Masuma Chagres Canando.
So we have talked about two types of laziness of underestimation, and laziness of procrastination, and another form of laziness is all called laziness of being attached to frivolous activities. So this form of laziness, again, is a form of attachment. Frivolous activities meaning, compared to spiritual or dharma activities, worldly activities are considered frivolous because they really do not have meaning in an ultimate sense. So if we become too busy with worldly stuff and things, you know, whatever it is, maybe just, you know, and never really think of anything positive or do anything positive, but always like, you know, party, singing, dancing, play music, you know, go gambling and just, you know, the worldly stuff, and get attached to those activities, then it's a form of laziness that we never get a time to do practice, never get a time to do something positive.
Tati yang kulon te gung dawas, kulon yen chi te ndo, ane ye ta xabri shi yandab tani ta tanzo yang, sanju sembi ane pido shi yina tari rai, kulon yen de yang tani shi yana, unzo nama ki shi yadi warita. Ya tani mayabi shi ta, ko sosue pe de cha ta tani ki wang du son de ta tanzo shi yawa nga bali cha ni, tsin de kanka togui tang su tani rai ta, du shi ni cha bi yina ya ta, shi yawa nga bali cha warwa.
But I must clarify one thing here. You know, of course, the motivation plays a very important and essential role in what we do. I don't mean to say that, you know, if you just, you know, spend whole life singing and dancing and playing and gambling and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, all of these things necessarily have to be frivolous and meaningless. But that also depends on one's motivation. If one has an altruistic motivation, that is to benefit others, so out of motivation to benefit others, then one could be singing, dancing, you know, which seem like a worldly activities, but they may have a different meaning. You know, they may not necessarily be frivolous activities. But what I mean to say is that without altruistic motivation or the motivation to benefit others, out of attachment, if one spends all life doing that, nothing but that, then doesn't matter. Maybe it's for your own living, you know, to earn your living, but there's really no altruistic motivation, then that could become a frivolous activity. So I'll stop there today, and I want us to remind all of ourselves that whatever, you know, we learn from Dharma, you know, we need to try our best to put it into practice.
Rang jute, chue tan dreva chi gugu yor ta. Rang ju chue tan dreva chi shungi na, chue tan gaya yi din leka shingu marwaas. Jaza rang ju chue tan pan dreva chi. Ta tindi chi gugu yor, song sa mulam yin chi jay gu ta.
So the bottom line is this, we need to see that our mind and Dharma, they become one, merge into one another. And so in that way, we really live Dharma, you know, so that, you know, Dharma and our life and the mind do not have what we call disparities or a gap in between. So that's what we, you know, we need to do.
Yes. No, no.
Okay, Kemchu ask everyone to join in his prayers. That, as you know, probably everyone knows now that there was a big earthquake in Islamabad nearby, and which, I mean, according to reports, at least 18,000 people died, and still the numbers are increasing. Maybe another 45,000 casualties, and numbers are still increasing. And so another big tragedy hit our world. So we would like to, you know, remember the victims of this earthquake tragedy and pray for their good rebirths. I mean, it's not only, you know, hit India, but as you might have, you know, if you listen to news, like, you know, it hit also the Jammu and Kashmir part of India, so India, that region, also some Himalaya regions, you know, there were a number of casualties there. And then I have two people's name here given. Ryan Webb, 19 years old, is very sick. And Win Quang Bui, 77 years old, is hospitalized. So we would like to send our prayers for them.
So
one of the things Keshav wanted to say and mention is, yes, you know, we feel very sad and that, you know, so many innocent people's life have been has adversely affected. You know, many people lost their lives and many, you know, have been, how should I say, the properties is damaged and a lot of casualties. But as we think about them, we also need to think, understand, like in different parts of the world, many different tragedies happen. But one of the things we might often forget is, like for example, we have brush fire in California. Now we often talk about how much danger that brings to the human community. But what about the other forms of life, you know, insects, other birds and other animals, you know, who are in the same environment? Because they also die in hundreds and thousands, but of course there is no news coverage of them, and we don't talk about them because we don't see them. What we see is the building destruction and the dead bodies, but we don't see insects, you know, dead bodies being carried or counted. You know, so we really need to think about all beings who lose their life and send our prayers, you know, for them. So those who have lost their lives in this, you know, tragedy, we wish them good rebirth in their next life. So may they be fortunate to be able to come under care and guidance of compassionate and qualified gurus, and may through their own spiritual enthusiasm and practice be able to become Buddhas in their future lives.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are terribly sick and maybe who have hopes to be, I mean, recover from their sickness, we send our prayers for them to be able to get well soon and then be able to engage in positive actions.
By
the power of our collective marriage, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourish throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy and spiritual masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state soon.
Shoki yamar, shoki kare